for us. How great is our God?
Amen.
Oh, yes.
How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one. Just put your trust in me.
How great is our God?
How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one that I ever heard. He wrote back the your trust in me.
Sing it again.
How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one that I ever heard. Yes, he rode back the put your trust in me.
One more time.
How great is our God?
How great
is his word?
It's the greatest word.
He's the greatest one that I ever heard. Yes, he rode back the water.
It's good to be in the house. Before we get this thing kicked off here, I got a little something I want to share first. You know, I love what Jay preached on Wednesday. It was just so spot on. And he said, you know, during the preaching, he said, you know, go home and write some things down that you want God to answer.
Amen.
You know, see, he wants you to leave here clear-minded, not guessing about what's going on in your life. He wants you to leave with a clear understanding.
That's
and
right.
I don't care how many services it takes. You just got to leave here with a clear understanding.
Amen.
And he don't want you to leave here guessing on anything.
Nope.
Not being vague
That's
on one thing. No shadows or darkness on one thing in your life.
Amen.
When you come in here, you have to come in here with an open heart, an open mind,
right,
ready to receive.
God,
and that's never been so apparent to me than today.
Amen.
You know, and when I wrote these things down, he said, let me go back. I had some notes that I wrote down. He said, why did their lamps have to be filled? Because I was thinking about the five wise and the five foolish virgins when he was preaching. I was thinking about that because there's things we needed to have. But see, the condition of the world at those times had to be in such a way that it forced them to move into where they had to go. See, those five virgins, they were already ready. They already had their lamps trimmed and cleared.
They were born.
See, cleared. It wasn't just trimmed. It was trimmed and cleared.
Amen.
So that means they had a clear understanding. They were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's what you have to have in this hour. See, we're not leaving without with this flesh and blood. Flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom. But he said, my word will never fail.
Amen.
And so I just, man, I'm so full. I know we got a line here. So God bless
Amen.
You. First brother.
Happy to be here.
Yes, Lord.
God's been so good to me.
Yes, Lord.
And I was in my music room a couple days
Amen.
Ago, and I was playing God is Good by Bethel Singers. And God showed me all the areas of my life where he's been good to me.
Amen. Oh,
from the day I was born till now. Amen. And he'll continue that until I leave here.
That's right.
You know, he loves me, he cares about me.
Yes.
And last Sunday I left here. And I went home and I smoked a cigarette. And God said, enough.
Come on.
So I laid him down.
Amen.
I haven't had a cigarette in 8.5 days.
Praise God.
After 54 years of smoking. So, you know, he's so good to me. He guides and directs me. He changes me. He gives me the strength to do what I have to do. And I wouldn't leave here unless I had a clear understanding. If I didn't have one, I'd go see my pastor.
Amen.
Till he gave me a clear understanding.
Yes.
So everything that's preached here, I believe.
That's right.
There's no way that I'd walk away from this, because a walk away from this is a walk away from God himself.
Amen. That's right.
Because God is here.
So true.
In his word.
Come on.
Amen. That's a true statement. Amen.
Lord, that touches me. Oh, you speak to me. You speak to me so well. God, I love this so much. You know, I was thinking about eating in haste.
Yeah.
Eating in haste. You know, I was thinking about yesterday. We went swimming. And if you don't know an example of it, when a kid wants to go swimming, when a kid wants to do anything. Oh, give me a second. Okay. When a kid wants to do anything, you know what? A kid wants to get dressed. And normally my daughter likes to do her makeup. She likes to get her hair done. She likes to do all these things, these forms and fashions. But she wanted to do something. She had a priority. You know what? She ate so fast. She was out that door so quick. She didn't worry about her hair. She didn't worry about what she was wearing.
Come on.
She was ready to go swimming.
Amen.
How much more should we be
Come on.
Where we know where we're going.
Amen.
Yes.
Not a partial understanding, but a full understanding of what we're doing. He said we're closer to the rapture than you thought.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord, I have such a clear understanding. I'm not sitting here just wondering. You eat in haste. You're not worried. You know, when you're in a rush, you're not worried about anything else.
Nothing. Right.
Lord, I'm so glad they removed that from you. But you know what? If he didn't.
Yeah.
If he didn't remove it from you, it's not my priority.
Come on.
It's just getting to the house of God.
That's it.
You know, I was in a rush this morning. I wasn't thinking about what I was going to wear. I wasn't thinking about what I was going to do. I know that I had a priority to get here. Because that's the prescription, is get to the house of God. It's not a matter of, do I look good? Will I look forms and fashions? Do I have the scriptures memorized? Do I know what the prophet says? No, I know what Brother Jay said on Wednesday. I have a real God.
Amen.
What he said on Wednesday, he said, you eat quick.
Yeah.
You get quick. You can look for a God 2,000 years ago. But when he comes down to flesh, you're going to miss him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't look good.
Right.
Or he doesn't sound good.
Come on.
Oh, I know where God's at.
Oh, yeah.
I come in here to speak to him. I come to listen to him. I know that he's talking. He gets up here. He's like, you know what? Stop it. That's the only way you'll stop it, is if God stops it. But you know what? If he doesn't, amen. Amen. If I don't get healed, amen.
Come on.
Amen. Greater works.
Greater
works.
Amen.
I'm over here. I'm not worried about getting up, trying to get myself ready for a rapture. I'm ready for a rapture.
Now.
I'm sitting here with the staff, with the word.
Yes.
I'm ready to go. I love the fact that he says, get your eyes off the blood. The blood just, you already know that you got it. We already know we got it. You guys made it to service. You know you got the blood of life.
Oh, yes.
We have a baptism today.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that, because you think what a baptism is. You have to recognize. It had to be revealed to you.
Yeah.
It had to be revealed to you. Mm-hmm. That means that, you know what? I know.
There's
he said something to me. It's an outward change.
Yeah.
It's an outward expression of an inward change.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? But even then, if you didn't get baptized, he still got it.
He still got it, no matter what.
You're all worried about, when my kids get here.
Come on.
When you're in a rush, you're only worried about yourself, because you've got to get yourself there. You know what? You either get in or you get out. When you're in a rush, I got a job to do.
Yes.
You know, I was like, listen, guys, I love you, but, you know, it is almost 9:30. You guys better get your shoes on. I don't care if your hair's brushed. I don't care if your shoes match. I don't care if you have socks on. We got a work to do. We have a job to do. That hasn't changed.
We still
have a body to get up.
Yes.
We still have. And all I'm saying is, I'm starting to say now, is I'm calling by name.
Yeah.
I make an effort to drive by the valley.
Yes.
Come on, Brother Shoulder, Sister Sandy. There's a bunch of believers down the valley.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of them. You can put a lot on there. And you know, all that is just reminding you.
Yeah.
It's just reminding you. You know, I have a job. I'm ready to see my loved ones.
Come on.
I'm ready. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's not a matter of a happenstance or maybe a circumstance or maybe just a feeling. It's a promise. He says, they cannot be made whole without me. Amen. Well, I'm whole. I'm ready to be complete.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, all we got to do, he says, we're eating haste. You know, there's not else anything else to do if you're eating haste.
Right.
You're not worried about, I love that because it takes all the stress off. You're not worried about, well, I got to worry about this. I got to worry about X, Y, and Z. If you don't eat in haste,
yeah,
you're going to miss it. Right. Now, they were ready to go.
Yeah.
They were physically ready to go. I'm spiritually ready to go. I'm spiritually ready to go.
That's right.
So I thank God that I can come in here just one more time. One more time.
One more time.
Because this is where it's going to happen. This is amongst believers. We're going to be like, you know what? Come on, little bride. It's time to go. That hat's in the right spot.
Yes.
We know what it is. We're not sitting here torn or disgusted about it.
Right.
I come in at 9:20 saying, you know what? It's nothing but the truth. It's nothing but the truth.
Amen.
I mean the whole thing. Whole thing before it's even preached.
Oh,
that's the way we're at.
Yeah.
We're not sitting here like, well, where'd you get that scripture from?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that from? I don't care who says it. I don't care who says it. I don't care what the flesh looks
you're
like.
Right.
I know where God's at.
Amen.
That's what age we're in is you can speak. God can speak through anybody. He can speak through a kid. He can speak through an old person, a young person, a woman, a man. But we have respect for the offices.
Yes.
We have such a balance. We're not sitting here torn. So when you hear, I know I'm going to hear from God.
Yes.
One more time. And this one more time may be the last time.
Yes.
Because eventually there's going to be a last time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, I'm not even looking for a 5-foot post to be removed from me.
No.
I'm looking. I'm taking that touchdown today.
Yes.
That's what kind of faith I have. Yeah. That I'm going to hit that touchdown today.
And the extra.
You know, it might be tomorrow. No, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to move it out till next Wednesday or next Sunday.
No.
I'm going to hit it tonight.
Tonight.
Right now.
Yes.
Right now I want to move.
Yeah.
That's how real it is.
Yes.
So, Lord,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you for revelation.
Thank you.
I thank you that I can see it clearly.
Yes.
I can see it clearly. I can hear it clearly. But I'm sitting here, when I eat it, I'm not eating some of it.
No.
I'm not eating.
No.
Well, I'm not picking through bones. I'm all right, let's go. Let's go. I'm ready to have service. Let's go.
Yes.
So I didn't come empty-handed. I thank you for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, sis.
I'm so grateful to be here. Circumstances happen, and I already know that God provides. How great is our God? He is beyond words.
That's right.
He is beyond words. He has always moved.
Amen.
And, you know, this morning I got up, and we started getting ready for church. And I said, all right, everybody line up. And I took everybody's temperature. Not one of us had a fever today. Not one of us had a fever today. We all got to come to the house.
Amen.
Because at the point that one of us, the grown-ups, didn't have a fever, then that person was going to church. we only needed one.
Yes.
But we got everybody here today.
Amen.
And you know, how great he is. Because, you know, I've seen him move in my life. I can look back and see before I knew him and what he brought me through. What he had already provided that I didn't even know it was him. And he did it anyways.
Come on.
Oh. So, you know, I used to get depressed. I used to get down. You know, circumstances would pile on top of me. And I'd say, I don't know what to do because I didn't even know to talk to God. I didn't even know. I didn't have a revelation then.
Come on.
I was adrift.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that he already had his hand on me. I wasn't adrift. You know, it's just like when you have some water in your hand. That's what God did. I was in his hand the whole time. And, you know, things got really dark all over. All aspects of my life were dark. And I knew because of what God's brought me through just being in this message, the little steps I already provided. Keep walking. Keep walking. Crawl if you have to. Just keep moving. And I did it. And I did it.
Amen.
You know what he did for me?
Amen.
Do you know what he did for me? He is clearing the stuff at work. He is clearing the stuff at my home. I walked in here, and I'm one of those people that I'll have that resting face, right? Because I don't necessarily smile a whole lot, and it's not intentional. But I came here, and I was smiling.
Yes.
I was happy to see you guys. I felt joy in me to be here with all of you. Because that's what my God has done for me.
Yes.
For me.
Get to the house.
And it is beautiful. Amen. It is beautiful. And I am so grateful to be here.
Amen, sis. Go ahead.
Tomorrow, and he's been my shelter in the time of storm. He's been my strength when I was weak and worn. That's why I'm grateful. I'm mighty grateful. Hold on.
Amen.
I would sing another verse, but I only got so much voice because, you know, I don't sing, you know, I don't walk around singing. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. So what I do is I'm like somebody getting an old car, and you know what? You put the pedal to the metal, and you know, you go as hard and as fast as it'll go, but it won't be long before their engine burns up. So my engine's burned. That's why I cut it off. But I want you to know today, I am a grateful person. He has shown me who he is. We know what it is now. The seals are open.
Yeah.
He's come back. We know where he is. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, that's me. And it said that he'd be like a tree planted
by the water.
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I live by the word. I overcome by the word. I walk by the word. My word don't mean nothing, but his word means everything. And he said heaven and earth would pass away. Can I talk about Matthew? He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. I expect.
Amen.
I expect God to do what he says he's going to do.
Right.
He's not a liar,
yes.
Saints. Hold on to it. That's what I'm holding on to. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about what it feels like. Only look at the word of God.
Amen.
I thank God for what he's done for me. He did this. I didn't come, and I'm going to sit down. You know, sometimes I'll be dragging Christy up. I'll be dragging Ward. But sometimes I can't wait on y'all. I'm about to burn up in here. Praise him.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Well, my engine's not burned up yet. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Today's a good day for me. I've got my sister Sandy with me today and my niece Cassie.
Amen. Amen.
Normally,
yes.
When they come over, they're going on Sunday. So today she's like, you got church on Sunday? I said, yeah. She said, well, I think I'll go with you. And I thought,
Amen.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
You know, because she's been family, Brother Moore, for a long, long, long time. I was thinking the other day, I thought, I'm coming up on 33 years. That's a long time. I've spent more than half my life here.
Right.
But you know what? God has been good to us. You know, Brother Don and I was talking the other day. This life is not that hard.
No.
It's really not that hard. You submit yourself to God. God will take care of the rest of it. You walk by faith. You put the word before you. And God takes care of everything. You know, like Brother Jay was preaching there on Wednesday, you know, God had already prepared a place for them to go to. He'd already given them a promised land.
That's right.
He'd already taken care of all that. All they had to do, he said, get ready. And they didn't. And I love that, Brother Moore, what you said at the end of the service. They didn't even know when he was going to leave. He just said, make yourself ready. They didn't know just a few short hours later, it was kind of time to get out of Goshen.
Right.
But here they were, you know, yes, Lord, we'll get our staff ready. Yes, Lord, we'll get this ready. Yes, we'll get our shoes on our feet. And it got so bad, and I love the types, you know.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Egyptians, they wanted them out of there so bad, they were getting them gold, silver, giving everything, had just leave. Just
get out of here.
You caused us so much problems, just get out of here. Because they thought life would be much better without them, you know. But that's kind of like me.
Yeah.
You know, God's made a way. He's given me a promise. He's given me somewhere I'm going to. And we're at a place now, the world's trembling. It's groaning, travailing, just waiting for us to get out of here. And I'm ready, but what I love about it is, this life is so beautiful to go through. It's so easy to go through. You just lean on God's arms, Amen. And everything you go to,
yes.
everything yes. you face just in life, He's already got an answer. He's given you His word to get overcome it. He's given you His promises. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself.
Amen.
I simply just walk through this life just easily. I mean, it's so easy that it's almost, you almost feel bad talking about how easy it is. I mean, you know, you just, I mean, it's such an easy life. It really is. I don't have any issues. I don't have any problems. Everything that I come up against that the world will consider hard, I've already got an answer for it. I just rest in it. You know, I may get my feathers shuffled, but it doesn't even take out long. 33 years later, those problems are so short now. I just shake them out. This is just another obstacle for me to come across. I'm a strong man of faith. I believe God. I trust God. I step out on His word. I love this word. I love coming in here. This is my refresher moment. I get to come in here, raise my hands. All right, Lord, what's your next marching order for the next day? And I'm thinking, Brother Jay, if you'll help me sing, let's magnify the Lord. I'm going to let you start. Get me on pace.
Come on, praise Him.
I think it's all right.
We can do that.
You remember that song? I do know that song. Oh, magnify the Lord. 143.
Magnify. I love it.
Oh, let's magnify the Lord. Of my salvation.
man, I'll say something while I'm walking here. You know, we used to sing that song when we were in the van. And we were in this old van that didn't have a radio. And me and Jim would be in that van. And we'd say, it's going to be time for J&J Radio. And it's James and Jim. And we would sing that song. That's why we know that song like the back of our hand. But I look at that, and I look at that moment. I go, even, you know, you can say, oh, you were in a broken down van. You were working in this. But we enjoyed ourselves. I learned how to work. I learned how to get through adversity. But it was just another reminder that God's always been in my life. But just to give you guys a little reminder, when I told you that God always, he always hears me. I'm going to put on record here. I'm going to have this little girl here say hello.
It's going to be a testament.
Hi.
I prayed. I prayed. I said, Sister Judy, I'm praying for your daughter. I said, I'm praying for your granddaughter. I want to see them. That's vindication. That God answers prayers. Yeah. So it might be a small thing to them to just come and sit down, but it's just a manifestation that God always hears my prayers, that God always answers my prayer. To them, they might even not know that I was praying for them. They might even not know that I'm pulling for them. But when I see them, it just further encourages me, because I look at them and I say, God, you heard me again. You answered me again. To them, they may just sit there and say, oh, nobody knows I'm here. They may sit there and think nobody was asking. But I'm looking and saying, that's another reminder that God always hears my prayers.
Amen.
And that's how important each and every one of you. When I see one of you, I go, that's another blessing that I prayed for. That's another thing that I asked for. When you say, oh, I can't ask for this, I can't ask for that, I ask for everything.
Yeah.
I let God work it out.
Yeah,
you talk about faith like a child. You know, my kids, they can ask for everything. Oh, I want breakfast. I want lunch. I want you to order this. I want you to order that. Just keep asking for what you want. I'll give you what you need. But I don't start hindering my ask. I say, if I want to be stronger, God, give me strength.
Amen.
If I want stronger revelation, Lord, strengthen that.
Yes.
If I want a better understanding, I ask for it. I don't ask thinking it ain't going to happen. I throw up everything.
Yeah.
I want to see this person, that person, this person, that. I change everything everywhere I go.
Yes.
That's what we say, everywhere the soles of your feet.
That's it.
So I'm looking at that. I'm kind of like Caleb. Give me my mountain.
Amen.
That might have been a mountain for them to get here. They don't live close by.
Amen.
They're not close by. They had to go through some things to get here. But you know, when God says three, everything else has to line up to it.
Amen.
1 + 1 + 2, 4 - whatever. I don't care how he has to do math. He says three. When he said, let there be light, he didn't care about how it had to, what had to separate. It just, he said, let there be light. So we put too much time thinking in the process.
Yes.
Well, this got to happen. Here. This gotta no. God said, let there be.
Yes.
That's how it's going right now. That's even how the rapture's gonna happen. How are your molecules gonna change? How's the DNA gonna line up? How's this gonna happen? How are you gonna become transparent? I don't know. He said, I'm ready for the rapture. That means I'm ready for the rapture. He said, I'll be changed in a moment and twinkling an eye. That means I'm gonna be changed in a moment and twinkling an eye. Oh, how's this gonna happen? I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care. I don't get caught up in the details. I understand that I'm, even how God said it. He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
Everybody else wants to be B to Y. He says, I'm A to Z.
Yes.
He said, I'm the beginning and the end. You worry about the middle.
Amen.
He said he got those children out of there at 400 years to the day. Yeah. Moses had to do 40 years on the backside of the mountain, had to do this, had to be trained under Pharaoh. They had to do this, had to do the plagues. It was 400 years to the day. No matter how it had to shape up, it was 400 years to the day.
Amen.
Oh, my. God bless you.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Don. You'll be the last one.
You know, I'm thinking about how that, you know, Brother Childers said he had that vision that he had to run to keep up with God. Jesus was running, not even looking back. He had to run trying to catch up to him. And I'm thinking, Lord, if we ain't used to running, we better get used to running. Used to be a time I'd sit in here, well, ain't nobody else going to say something. I got something to say. But now I got to squeeze in, showing up late for church. I guess I'll have to set my clock another 10 minutes early to even get here. But, you know, this is great.
Yes.
This is what he wants. This is everything he'd envisioned for this day. This is God in flesh.
Yes.
This is the word of God coming out of the mouth of God every time we turn around, you know. You know, he's always been here. I hear it in testimony. He's been with me all my life. I look back and I see him all my life. You know, the devil wanted to water it down. He said, well, you've always been that way. Yeah, because he's always been in my life all the way up through. And this is just, it's coming to a head now.
Yes.
It's coming to a head. I'm starting to realize really who I am. It's not just a fantasy. It's not just an emotion. Not just anything else. This is the word of God being expressed through the bride of God. And I am so thankful to see my body moving. You know, when you're paralyzed, you long for the day to see the body moving. There was a time this body was paralyzed.
Yeah.
Unbelief had everything else going on. We remember it. But not now. No. Not now. God's in this body. He's in this place.
Amen.
Run, little bride. Run.
Run.
Keep up. If you're going to keep up with this God, you know, he's talking about the ministers. You know, if you're going to say a little something about it, you better hurry because he's moving.
Quick.
And I'm thinking here, I'm thinking, well, everybody else is saying everything. You know, I don't have to say anything. But, yeah, I'm part of this race, too. I might be the tail end of it, but I'm going to finish this race.
Yes.
I'm thankful for this. I had a song on my heart this morning.
Amen.
And I wanted to sing it.
Amen.
And it's called The Goodness of God.
Yes.
And he's been so good to me. I know he's been good to me. He's revealed himself to me.
That's right.
This is so what could you ask place. For? It almost gets old. It almost gets common, you know, but he's revealing. He's talking to me all day, every night, every time I wake up the night, every time I get a chance in the day. He's
always.
Speaking to me.
Oh,
he's revealing his word to me. He's bringing my remembrance who I am, how great this is.
Yes.
And then I get here. And I think, oh, yeah.
Yes.
They know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
I know what they're talking about. This is more real than anything else you could ever find.
Amen. God bless.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy has never failed me all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so God. Oh, I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkness nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Amen. All my
of God. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Let me get these announcements out of the way real quick. Today, amen. As you all know, that we have a baptismal. And then Memorial Day weekend is next week. So there won't be an evening service, but there will be a gathering after service.
A cookout.
And Jada's graduation, May 24th. Don't forget that. Amen. Victoria Theater at 4 p.m. in Dayton. June 1st, Women's Fellowship, And then we've got Jay and Jeremiah going to Elkton June 8th and the 9th. Amen. And then the church camping trip on July 20th, 2 a.m. departure from the church.
Amen.
I mean p.m., sorry. 2
p.m.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. I was just testing you guys. Pastor, you...
Just encourage him to sign up.
And just sign up because everything's in the back for you guys, so thank you. Yay for those announcements. All right. And you know how Pastor always likes new stuff. So, you know, we don't do ruts around here. We Amen. Do, but then he snuffs us out of that rut, you know. So I want to sing a new song. And it's called The Blessing. And then we'll get him up.
Amen.
Thank you for the testimonies. God bless this place.
Amen. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Sing that again.
Lord, bless you. Shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Sing,
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your word. There's a lot of things we could do today, but Lord, there's nothing so great as your word. And we want to just bless you for it, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us and how you've been so good to us. Lord, we're gathered here today for one reason, and that's to come amongst you and to hear from you. Lord, we thank you for talking to us. Thank you for sharing your word with us. Thank you for always being present. You are the I am present tense God. And Lord, as we take a few minutes this morning to gather our thoughts around your Bible, around your word, Lord, we ask you to move every hindering spirit that might try to hinder your word. And let your Holy Spirit walk these aisles today and speak to our hearts. Touch our bodies, Lord, those that are sick, that may be aching or have pain or have issues that are dealing with them. Lord, you're greater than all those problems. And Father, we ask you to walk these aisles today and give us everything that we need. Whether it's healing, Lord, do it. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's natural. Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence. Speak to our hearts today. Touch those that are sick that can't be here, but Lord, need a touch from you. I see Sister King's not here. I'd ask you to touch her. Be with Jimmy. Lord, help him. Lord, Trevor, different ones that need you, that need to hear from you. We'll never fail to give you the praise for what you're doing for us. Thank you for sending them coming to visit and seeing her. It's good to see them here. Lord, different ones that are in the place today, ask you to just let your anointed word so move in their lives that it'll change them, that it'll change us all, Father, that when we leave here today, we'll not be the same. That, Lord, we'll take this word that's brought forth this morning and apply it to our lives in such a way that it'll make a new creature out of us. We are a new creature in Christ, and it's done by your word. Thank you for it all, Father. Have your way this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have you all here. It's not a better place that you could be. It's not a better place that I could be. And I like the way brother says it in Kentucky. Said, I'm thankful for a desire to be here. And it's good to be able to gather in this house. It's got to be able to share amongst ourselves what God has been doing for us. Because he's been good to us. He really has. He's given us understanding. And not just an understanding, but to understand him. Understand his will, understand his role, understand, you know, God has given us everything that we need. And the thing is that we need to appreciate that, recognize that, and use that for his glory. Because that's what he wants. He wants to be able to use you. He don't want you just here gathering knowledge. He don't want you just here to stand around and watch everybody else enjoy him. He wants you to be able to get involved, become one with him in such a way that you know for yourself what's going on. You got to know for yourself. It can't be a secondhand testimony. And the thing about it is that you got to know your role. You do. You got to, everybody don't have the same role. Everybody doesn't have the same part to play. And what people do is they get out of their calling. And when they get out of their calling, they get in the way. You know, some people say, I've been in a way for a long time. That's the problem. God wants you out of the way. And the thing is, people look at the church and they look at how God's dealing with us. But sometimes people get out of God's will because they forget the role. You know, there's only one person here that's supposed to be correct in spirits. That's me. That's my role. That's the role of a pastor. He's a, now I know the word corrects all spirits. You can get up and testify and correct spirits. Because all you got to do is put the word out there. But when it comes to handling spirits, there's a way to do it. And there's only one person in the body here in the local assembly that's allowed to do that. And if you try to do that and you're in yourself and you're not just speaking after the word, you will mess things up. And the thing is that God's got you here to love one another, to be a part of a body, because when the word corrects, it corrects us all. It doesn't just, you don't sit there and look and say, well, I know that's for Brother Lockett. Oh, that's for Brother Don. That one's for, whoa, there God's for Jeremiah. No, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. When the word comes forth, you apply it to yourself. Don't apply it to me, please. Because when you try to apply the word to me, you'll mess it up. But if you apply it to yourself and let God deal with you with the word of God in your life, it'll make you a better person. It'll put you in the position where God can use you. And the thing is, we want to be used by God. That's really what the bride's heart's desire is. But you got to do it the right way. I'm going to give you an example this morning of someone who God blessed. Now, God blesses you when you just come around the word, you get blessed. Yes. You know, people come into services here and they get caught up in the anointing and they're like, my goodness, this is the best thing since sliced bread. I want this. I want this. And they get under that anointing. And then after the anointing's gone, they're gone. Oh, yeah. But see, the thing is, you've got to understand God is in here putting you in a position. You have to be positionally placed. Amen. Not just the pastor, but everybody in the body must be positionally placed. Some are musicians, they're positionally placed. Some are deacons, they're positionally placed. Some are singers, they're placed. Some are just musicians. Some are just testifiers. And it's not that any of it is greater or less than the other. It's all got to get the job done together. And that's why it's not a big I and little you. It's hard to tell who the pastor is here when you come here. Brothers get up and they exhort. Sisters get up and they exhort. And then they're wondering, who's running this place? The Holy Ghost is running this place. That's who you really want to run the place. Because you want that anointing amongst you. You don't want to just go to church to be in a building. That's not church. That's a lodge. When you got people who have life ingredients and life decisions and they do things together, that's a lodge. That's not a church. But when you come into a house of God, you should come in with your open mind so that God can deal with you and positionally place you in the body where you're supposed to be. Because everybody's got a job to do. Like Don said, he says he thought, well, this one can testify and that one can testify. The more he thought about it, he's like, wait a minute, they can't testify for me. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. So nobody can testify for me. Nobody can sing for me. Nobody can worship God for me. I got to do that for myself. I don't care if you're 5 or 50 or 90. Everybody has a role to play. Now, we're going to get a baptism today. I know two people are getting baptized as young men. And they decide they want to do it. And I thought, well, praise God, that's good. Because God can use you. You know, a lot of people think that they got to wait till they're 30, 40, till God can use them. God can use them wherever you're at. If you're a young person, nothing thrills me more than to hear a young person testify. Y'all don't understand it. Y'all don't understand. You think, well, I don't have nothing to say. Just the fact that you're taking a stand for the word of God, that turns me on. But when you get into the house of God, you got to understand what role you have to play. And everybody has something to do, but don't get out of your calling. That's where people get in trouble. They get in trouble because they get out of their calling. They're supposed to testify and they want to preach. They want to testify that they can't help it. They want to preach or they want to sing and they can't sing. They really don't. I mean, everybody can't sing. I'm sorry. Come on, y'all. Don't look at me like I'm the only one that hears it. Everybody is not called to sing. Everybody's not called to give long testimonies. Everybody's not called to bring the scriptures together and tie it in. Everybody's not called to preach. And a lot of people, more than likely, if you think you want to preach, then you're not called. Because the first thing that's going to happen if you get called to preach, you're going to say, I ain't doing it. That's what I did. I wasn't going to do it. And then when Brother Children said I was going to be the next pastor, I said, God, I come first. He ain't going to do that to me. He ain't going to do that to y'all. I said, the Lord will come before he makes me pastor. But, well, I was wrong on that one, too. But see, a gift comes, a gift and calling, that's without repentance. God gives you gifts, and he expects you to use what he gives you back to the body because he's a little conceited. He loves to hear himself talk about himself. He loves to hear himself sing about himself. He couldn't swear by nothing greater than himself. So when you come into the house of God, that's God singing to God about God. And he loves that. But I want to talk this morning. And there's a guy that God had anointed him, and he blessed him from his youth. And he was a young man. Matter of fact, he was 16 years old when God started using him. And he was such an anointed vessel of God that God used him, and God called him, and God protected him, and God helped him so much. And you know how it is when you get in with God? God advances you. Have you ever noticed that Christians are always the leaders in their place of work? You know why? Because God's in you, and God will advance you. I never had one job, I didn't end up running it. And I'm talking from in the cleaning department, cleaning parts. I'm talking face mask, and glove, leather gloves, because you grind your fingers off, and aprons because the metal shavings. I'm talking about the lowest of the lowest. And before I got out of that place of employment, I was the manager of the department. Not even that department. Of the computer operations department. I ain't bragging, I'm just stating facts. I'm saying if you're a child of God, God can make you the best employee. God can make them want you. God can make them give you raises. God can make them give you positions, and he'll raise you up. So all you got to do is submit to God, and God will take care of all the other details. Don't worry about going in at the lowest position in the company. You get in there, and you work as unto the Lord, and God will make you run that place. When I first come to this message, I was 19 years old. I didn't know nothing. I really didn't. I mean, really, I didn't. I wasn't no contractor. I didn't know how to build. I didn't know how to do electric. I didn't know how to do plumbing. I didn't know how to do nothing. I was 19. Just got out of high school. Didn't know nothing. But hanging with the body, I learned everything that I know. In the natural and the spiritual. Now I can do all kind of stuff. But it's because I learned. So you gotta get in and roll your sleeves up. You can't just come and sit here. God can teach you as a young person what you need to do. And that's what happened here in this case. He was 16-year-old, and God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. When everything he did, everything he touched, he was blessed, 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 blessed. Turn me over to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. You could read the whole book of a whole chapter, but I'm going to jump down. I'm not going to start at verse 1, but Uzziah was his name. Young man, 16-year-old, he started becoming, he became king at 16. Could you imagine that? 16-year-old, didn't know nothing. And we don't look at our young people like they know anything. We almost don't want them to testify. We almost don't want them to, you know, get them up there. Let God use them. And Uzziah, God used him. He believed God. He worshiped God. And God blessed everything he touched. But there was one problem. He got out of his calling. See, it's okay to do things and to help out, and he got so called on himself. And God blessed him and blessed him so much that he actually thought that he could do anything he wanted. On his own, because God was with him. But see, God's only with you when you're doing what God tells you to do. Did you hear that? God's only with you when you're doing what God tells you to do. If God don't tell you to do something, don't do it. You're on your own then, because then, you know what? You're going to be fighting against God. Because God's got an ordained way. God's got an ordained channel. God's got a way that he's going to do everything. Even the services here. God's got a way that he wants the services run. There's a reason God said be here by 10. There's a reason why God said get here at 9:30 so you can be here by 10. Because God's got a reason for these things. And if you follow God's instruction, he will bless you. And if you don't follow God's instructions, I'm sorry, but you ain't getting nothing. You say, well, I got a relationship with God. So did he. God's going to bless me. He blessed him. But he got so blessed that he finally thought he was doing it. He got so blessed that he thought that he didn't need the high priest. He got so blessed that he was his own pastor. So y'all can get that way, you know. You can get so much Holy Ghost in you that you don't listen to me. I question your God when you get that way. Because see, what happened with Uzziah, he got so much God, and God blessed everything he touched, and he just knew God was with him. He just knew he could do anything. He couldn't mess nothing up because he had God. You know how we say, you know, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. God's got every one of my footsteps. Don't fool yourself. I told y'all the other day, I had somebody in jail telling me they have a prison ministry. I think I told y'all that, didn't I? Maybe I told the brothers. Okay. They're telling me they got a prison ministry. I said, you don't have no prison ministry. You in jail. You broke the law. Don't blame God for that. Now, while you're in there, yeah, God might use you because he's going to take and do something. He might. He may not even use you because you're not in the will of God. You're just a prisoner and not of Christ. But we want to blame everything on God and say, God's got it all. God's got my footsteps. God's got, sometimes you do some bonehead moves. And God ain't got a bit to do with it. And you're going to blame God for it because you're ordained of God. You're only ordained of God when you're doing the will of God. God's will is that you be in the house of God, not in jail.
Amen.
I have more of a prison ministry than you do because I'm coming to visit you. Sometimes it's common sense, but we want to be so spiritual. And we think that God's got everything, and God don't have all your footsteps if it's not according to his word. So, I'm going to go down to this dope dealer down here in the west side of Dayton. God's with me. Hallelujah. I got to get me some Holy Ghost drugs. Go on down there. You might end up in the middle of a raid. And then I'll be coming to visit you. And then you'll be telling me, my footsteps are ordered of the Lord. I'm in jail because I have somebody I have to meet. Yeah, the judge. So sometimes we need to balance our spiritualism. Sometimes you got to realize, like Don says, sometimes it's God, sometimes it's Satan, and sometimes it's just you. If you're making decisions, it's not very Christian-like, I guess, call it bonehead. I was getting ready to say it again. I thought, don't say that. That's not very nice. That's not very nice. If you're making decisions and your life's a wreck and you can't get it together, remember I just said that God will take you in a job and he will make you the best employee. Well, I remember there was a brother. No names mentioned. He's not here anymore, so I can say it, but I won't mention his name out of respect. He got job after job. He can get a job. It's amazing how he always got a job. But he couldn't keep it. Every time he got a job, they fired him. And they fired him, and he said the only reason they fired him is because they didn't like blacks. Really? His problem wasn't that he was black. His problem is that he talked more than he worked. And they fired him every time he get a job, fired, get a job, fired. So they don't like blacks. It had nothing to do with that. They don't like you. It's the way you carry yourself. It's the way you handle yourself. It's you doing this to yourself. Don't blame man. Don't blame the white man. Don't blame God. Don't blame society. It's you. Get in there, shut your mouth, and do the work. All you have to do is take this bolt and put it on this nut, tighten it, and let it go down the line. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. That's all they ask you to do. You preaching on the line. You talking about everybody. You putting everything in. Stop it. Well, anyway, Uzziah was some young man, 16 years old. God called him and used him. He's king. And God blessed him so much. And everything he touched, it blossomed. You ever meet people like that? I have. They can take something that you don't. They don't even know what they're doing with it. They're like, I'm just going to tinker with this. Huh, Steve? I'm just going to tinker with this. And they tinker with it, and next thing you know, it works. It's like, what'd you do? Well, I just did this, this, and this, and it didn't cross my mind. There's people like that. So here he was. Everything he touched, God blessed. Everything he touched, God anointed. And so over here in chapter 26, please read that chapter as homework. And you'll be able to see his whole life story. To save time, I'm not trying to go through all of it, but let's just jump down to verse 14. And Uzziah prepared for them. He's talking about the people. He prepared for them. Listen to how good he was. Throughout all the host, shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. I mean, he had his army together. They didn't need nothing. They had it all lined up. They knew what they were doing. And he made in Jerusalem engines. Engines. You didn't know that word was in the Bible, did you? You thought we just had engines. His engines were engineered things that helped them to fight with. He made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Helped by who? By God. God helped him. Isn't that strange? Here this man is. Everything he touched, God blessed. Everybody in the land knew, oh, that's a man of God. Oh, God's with him. Until he got really strong. You know what he got? He got strong in his will. He got strong in himself. He got so much God, he didn't need nobody else. You ever run across people like that? I have. I have. I'm a pastor. I run across all the time. I know more than you. God's talking to me. And I'm saying to myself, if he was talking to you, he would be telling you to listen to me. But because they got strong in their walk with God, and that's what he did, he got strong. He was walking with God, but he got so strong that his will overcame the will of God. But when he was strong, verse 16, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You'll never get ahead of me. Amen. You'll never get smarter than me. Amen. And I'm not talking about worldly smart, because y'all are all smarter than me. We got some smart people out in this audience. But when it comes to the will and the word of God, Mm-mm. You'll never catch me. Got 44 years under my belt. Sitting under the most revelated man in the message. Taught at his feet. Trained by him. Top that. That's why I told this preacher, I said, you know what? His brother Childers had been here 20 plus years and he's retired as pastor and he had a microphone and they wanted to try to tell me how to run the church. And I was trying to throw hints. You know, I was trying to do like brother Childers, just be nice and not look at him directly, but just throw a hint. I said, when you have 20 years pastor in Fairborn Community Tabernacle, I might consider giving you a microphone. Because I knew there was nobody could do it. You don't even have enough time to do it. So you're not going to be smarter than me. You're not going to talk to God and he's going to tell you any more than he's going to tell me. I'm the watchman on the wall. I'm on the top of the tower. You're down in the city. I see it all. I see your spirit. That's my job. And I won't apologize for that. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. Oh my. And went into the temple. Remember, David went into the temple. But had two different spirits. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Oh, that sounds pretty good. Pretty spiritual. He wasn't out there dancing in the streets and trying to do the wrong thing. He went to church. And Ezra, the priest, went in after him. And with him, 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. They weren't scared. They weren't chicken. They were valiant men. They were strong. They knew their job. They knew nobody's going to do their job. And they're going to make you pay if you try. Here they are going in against the king. I don't care who you are. The king went in there. Wasn't supposed to be in there. And the priest, Ezra, and his other priests come running in, violent men. They, if they had to throw him out by his head, they were going to do it. The king. The king, the same one that God used. The same one that God was behind. The same one that God blessed. The same one that God used him from 16. The king went in there. And thought he was going to do his own thing. Like I said, stay in your calling.
Amen.
And they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn the incense, go out of the sanctuary. For thou hast trespassed.
Amen.
How are you going to talk to the king that way? When you're in your calling, you talk to him however you want. You get the job done. King or no king, religious or no religious, smart or no smart, holy or no holy. I don't care who you are in this assembly, you all come under me.
Amen.
That's your place. That's your role.
Amen.
And that don't make me a lord. I got my job and you got yours.
Right.
He had his job and they had theirs.
Right.
He was supposed to be king of the kingdom. He had the whole kingdom. Everybody looked up to him. He had everything under the sun, under his fingertips. But the one thing he didn't have was the high priest in the temple. The one thing he wasn't supposed to touch. The one thing he had no authority at. It was not his calling, was not his place, was not his duty. He could have done all the other things, got the soldiers together, fought wars, done everything. He could have done anything he wanted to outside of the house of God. But when he got into the house of God, he was out of his league. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. He got mad at him. Have y'all ever had people get mad at you? I have. I've had them stump out. I've had them tell me off. I've had them tell me I don't have God. I had them call me names. I've start rumors. I had them do everything under the sun. They get mad. And when people get mad, they'll do anything. That's why when I get called into a home when I'm dealing with a husband and wife and their issues, and I ask them if they want me in the home, I don't care what they've said. Because she said what she said to hurt him, and he said what he said to hurt her. So it's both void and non-effect. Well, she said, I don't care what she said. Well, he said, I don't care what he said. What does the word say? What does the word say? And I bring them right back to their vows. You said, till death do you part. You promised to stay together in sickness and in health. You remember that? In riches and poor, in sickness and in health. Those are your vows. So when I get involved, I'm going to take you back to the word. I'm going to tell you what you said. Now, if you think you have more God than me, override that. Go on and get your separation. Go on and get your divorce. You'll pay. You'll pay for that thing. Because it's not me that you reject. It's the word of God. See, people don't understand. You're not rejecting me. When you put your little shields up against me, I ain't worried about you and your shield. Because I'm telling you the word of God. I'm giving you, thus said the Lord. If you don't want that, it's not against me. That's what God told Samuel. Samuel, they want a king. Israel wants a king like everybody else. Samuel got his feelings hurt. He thought, oh, Lord, they rejected me. God said, Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. Oh, I get my feelings hurt every time somebody leaves the church. I go lick my wounds, go to my corner, cry to myself, and I talk about it. But God looks at me and says, Nate, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. He got wroth. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, he got mad at the preacher. Come on. You don't think church people can get mad? Church people are the worst people ever. I keep telling y'all that. I have more trouble out of church people than I do out of my workers. I'm telling you the truth. Church people, they'll get you. They know how to get you. They know how to put your name out there. They know how to make you look bad. They know how to start gossiping your church and start breaking your church up. Brother Branham said, in Christ the mystery, don't have a hair. Could have brought it. He said, Satan will come in amongst you, and they'll shoot some poison in there, and then that poison spread throughout the body. It'll hurt your church, and it'll hurt your pastor. Amen. Right. He said, don't have nothing to do with that. Amen. Stay that much closer together. Draw that much closer together, and stay with your pastor. He is ordained. Why didn't I get that quote? He is ordained. I left that one for Jeremiah and Jay. Amen. Don't write that down, Jay. Stay with your pastor. Because he's ordained. He is ordained to see you through. Nobody else in the body is. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look to your husband. Don't look to your wife. Because sometimes they get cross-eyed. And you got to keep your eye right here because I'm going to give you the word of God. Amen. Don't get mad at me when I tell you the truth. Mad at me already. Not my fault. I'm just a mailman.
passing out the mail. That's all I'm doing. It's for you from God. That's I'm just a mailman. Don't get mad at the mailman because he's telling you you're out. Amen. You say, well, I'm not out. I just told you you are. Amen. Well, my God tells me I'm okay. I'm ordained. You're not. Amen. I got more Holy Ghost than you'll ever get. You say, how can that be? All right, he got mad. He had that incer in his hand. You know what he wanted to do with that incer. He wanted to hit him. Sometimes people, y'all get so mad at me, y'all want to really hit me. I know you do. I know you do. If there was no law of the land, and if you could get away with it, that's why I stay behind the pulpit. Stay out of your reach. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead. Before the priest. I see y'all getting leprosy right in front of my eyes. I ain't saying y'all, if shoe don't fit, don't wear it. But there are people, I see leprosy hit them. Rose up in his forehead. Do you know? This just, talk about hot off the press. I didn't see this last night. It hit him in his forehead. Right. In his thinking. Right. Messed him up. Right. You know what? You have to actually be crazy in your head to walk away from this place. Right. You do. You get leprosy in the forehead. Why didn't it hit him in his hand? Why didn't it hit him in his foot? Because God's trying to show you, you sit right in the house of God and you'll debate and argue with the Holy Ghost. Because see, what happens is you sit back there while the preacher's, he's innocently just talking. And while he's preaching and giving you the word of God, you are in your seat fighting the Holy Ghost. And said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I got this. I got that. I got the Holy Ghost myself. I know what I'm doing. The whole time you're leprosy. Right in the forehead. I just saw that when I read that again. Get leprosy in the forehead. Some of y'all get leprosy in the forehead. Right before the priest. In the house of the Lord. It didn't happen at home. It didn't happen when you got that phone call about gossip. You know what? When you accept gossip, you already are in trouble. You've already had leprosy in your forehead while you were sitting here. Otherwise, you wouldn't accept. You know what? I'm going to define gossip because some of y'all haven't heard my definition of gossip. My definition of gossip is talking about something and you're not one of the two people. It's like, man, that narrowed that down. That's gossip. It is. It's not even accepted in a court of law. Hearsay is not even accepted, or it's not. You can't enter it in the court of law. It's inadmissible. Thank you. I was trying to think of that word. I couldn't slow down enough. Gossip is talking about something, and you are not one of the two people. Amen. Well, there goes your phone. Ain't got nothing to talk about now. I talked about Jay all week to Jeremiah. About how he treats his kids. Now see, I'm a little different. I can't gossip. I'm involved with all of y'all. I'm one of the two. But what I see people do, and I'll get back to this because this is a really good story. I'm messing it up. What I see people do, they get their nose in everybody else's business. Busybodies. telling Jim how, you know, Jay, Jim, if he ran his house like mine, he'd have less trouble. And Jay's like, really? Don, do you know that Jim's house is messed up? What? And Don goes over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, pray for it. See, that's how we always put it. Pray. We always say pray. Pray for it. But I got to give you details so you know how to pray. Jeremiah, pray for Jim. Because Jay told me his house is a wreck and they're divorcing. And there ain't a bit of truth in it. But you know what should happen? Jeremiah should say, why are you talking about it? Why is that your business? You know, I did that to somebody. I just sent them back. And Jeremiah, he should rebuke me. And say, now you go back to, you said that was Don? You go back to Don and tell Don you're busybody and you need to repent and get out of his business. And I, being a brother, am obligated. Because I'm my brother's keeper, I'm obligated to hear my brother and take it back. Don, you should have told me about Jim's house. Wasn't my business and it's not yours. And wherever you got that from, you need to go back and repent to them. Now it's on him. No, I'm free. Now Don's got to deal with, am I a believer or am I a make-believer? So he's got to go back to Jay. I am so sorry, brother. I used your name in vain. I talked about something you told me, which you really shouldn't have told me because it wasn't my business. I wasn't one of the two people about Jim's house. You should have never told me that, brother. You need to apologize to Jim for that, because what you've done was you have killed Jim's influence to half the church now. Because everyone's got a wife. You know what the dinner table talk is? Jim. Now you got half the church sick, and Jim comes in, and he's a deacon. He comes to the back door. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Everybody walks by him like, And he ain't done nothing. Right. He don't even know why they're shunning him. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
You're right, Pastor. You're right.
Amen. All because of gossip.
That's right.
I had a sister call me back when we had the church split 100 years ago. Sister Alice. She was alive then. She called me one morning before I went to work, and she was bawling. And she told me, she said, oh, Brother Nate, sister called me, and she was giving me all this information. I said, Alice, let me tell you, this is what I want you to do. Now, see how much Alice loved me. She listened to me. I said, this is what I want you to do. When you hang up the phone from me, you call that sister back, rebuke her, and don't listen to a word she has to say, or believe a word of it, and you'll be fine. And she did it, and she's fine. That's how you handle it. That's how you do it. You don't get mad at the preacher because he's trying to teach you how to do the right thing. Come on, people. We're trying to be saints here. But see, the thing is, and what I am realizing is people don't really believe Brother Branham. They follow the message, but they skip the parts. Okay. So he got mad, and he was going to hit him. Leprosy hit his forehead. And Ezra, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out of there from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to get out. See, when it gets hot enough around here, when the priest is slamming you with the word of God, because his job is to get rid of you. Y'all don't understand that my job is to get rid of y'all. Contrary to church order, the pastor's job is to shake loose anything that can be shaken loose. Preach it hard, preach it straight, and run off everybody he can. So, I'm on the same page as you when you run out of the door. When you run out of the door, I'm wanting you out of the door. Because that's how we're strong like we are, because we don't put up with junk. We don't put up with gossip. We don't put up with a bunch of church players. So the high priest said, you got to go, bud. They thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hastened also to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. See, that's what happens to the unbelievers. They're like, I can't stand that church. Can't stand that pastor. Can't stand that Jay. Can't stand Ted. I just, on their way out, they get out. They run out of here. I don't even tell y'all when people leave. I figure y'all figure it out. You're like, haven't seen brother, haven't seen sister, haven't seen this family, haven't seen, they left about 6 months ago. That's like, I'm not trying not to use names, but I had a family leave us, and it's sort of cute because about six or eight of them that left together. And they left, and I just kept preaching. And by and by, the congregation's like, hey, what happened to those eight? So, they left 6 months ago. I know when you're gone, but I'm not going to gossip to you about it. See, that's what people don't understand about me. I had a sister one time. She's going to get on me because I didn't rebuke a brother like she wanted me to. She stood up in front of the whole congregation. You old heads know who it was. You were here. Stood up right over there on the front row. If you knew that brother had a problem, why didn't you tell us and rebuke him? I said, I didn't tell him. I didn't tell you about his problem, just like I don't tell him about yours. And she sat down. Because she was full of problems herself. But see, that's the thing is, people don't realize that the job of the pastor is to handle all this. Not everybody else. You don't go through the church with that stuff. Somebody come and use your ear as a garbage can, trying to talk about, I've got a bad life. My husband's awful. Who's this? You should rebuke him and send him to me. That's your job as a brother, as a sister. You don't listen to that mess. He ran out of the house because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. He never recovered. He never recovered from his leprosy. And there's many people who have left this place with leprosy, and they never recovered. The only place to get healing from leprosy is here. Come in, sit down, let me talk to you. Let me get that leopard off of you. Let me get that false doctrine out of your head. That phony doctrine, that ideas and things that you got, that you think, I'm okay. You're not okay. I can see your forehead. You can't see it. Staying home ain't the answer. Taking your leprosy to a leprosy colony is not the answer. And I call a leprosy colony a place with other people with your same thinking. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. The only time they really agree is when they say that they don't like Fairborn. Yeah. And they will actually unite together in a leprosy colony against us. But they can't get healed. You got to come where Jesus is. Jesus is the only healer of leprosy. And when he heals you, you'll be fine. You'll be welcomed back in the congregation of the living. You get somebody that got leprosy off of them, the people that Jesus healed of leprosy, they didn't have to go back to the leprosy colony. They went home. When your mind's messed up and you're running around here thinking you got a better way, get back to the house of God, because that's where Jesus Christ is. And I can pray for you and that leprosy will go away. Amen. But he kept that leprosy until the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. You know what that is? That's a house with lepers. A house that's separated from everybody else. And that's what people do. They separate themselves from the house of God and they take their leper thinking and they sit in their own place and just die. Yep. Oh, you didn't think this was coming out of that. I told you there was a lot in here, and I don't want to read the whole chapter, but read it. It's a good chapter to read. But he kept his leprosy to his death. Many people keep their leprosy till they die. Right. Only way to get over leprosy is to find where Jesus is. Amen. Because he's the healer. Amen. He can take that leprosy off of you. Amen. He can get your mind straight. He can get you pointed in the right direction. But you got to come where he is. And he ain't everywhere. Don't go to the church of your choice. Go to the church where Jesus is. Because when he's there, he can take care of that leprosy. Yes. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. My goodness. People think that they leave us or they leave me. God leaves them. They get cut off from the house of the Lord. Their thinking gets worse. Their leprosy spread. So the best thing you can do is find out where Jesus is and get him, get that leper under the Lord Jesus Christ, under the Word, because the Word is the only thing that's going to heal that. Amen. Nothing else can. They have no cure for it. There is no man-made cure for leprosy. That's why I just sent them to another place. They sent them to some place where their body parts could just fall off. it's terminal. But if you can get them to where the Word is, convince them to stay under the Word. Just listen to him. Just listen to God. Just let God talk to you. Just let him work on your thinking. Work on your leprosy. And if you do that, he will heal you. God still heals leprosy. Amen. He does. Where's Doug at? Where's Doug at? I saw him in here today. Doug, doesn't God heal leprosy? Doug and Renee got a case of it. Yeah, they did. Your priorities are all wrong. Went home and didn't get help until they got back here. Then Jesus came and fixed it, took away that leprosy, took away that thinking. Put them back where they can actually receive the Word of God. You got to be able to receive the Word of God. So he's an example of what not to do. I title this message, Three Levels of Protection. Now, I've talked about this for a long time. Three levels of protection. Now, you say, he forgot there were levels. And as long as he did what God wanted him to do, God protected him. God watched over him. God took care of him. God prospered him. He did real well. But when he got away from the Word of God, God had to back up. The high priest, though they believed him to be a great king, once he got out of the Word of God, they had to back up. Whenever you're following the Word, I'm 100% behind you. But when you're not with the Word of God, I got to leave you alone. I don't care how good of a friend you are. I'll let some of my good friends go. I let my family go. I'll let anybody go. Don't look cross-eyed at me. I'll have to back away. Because the thing I understand is this picture is bigger than me and what I want. I've got to preach the truth. I'm ordained to bring the Word. I'm ordained to preach you the truth. And you got to stay with the Word. And you got to stay in your calling. If you're not a preacher, don't preach. Because you can't help nobody. I knew some preachers who were called preachers and they weren't preachers. They'd hear Brother Childers preach and they try to mimic what he preached. And I'd travel with them. I don't mention names, so I ain't mentioning no names, but y'all old heads are too old. Y'all know too much. I travel with them, and Brother Childers would preach here on Sunday, and the next Sunday, we would travel. And I'd go just because I was a young man, I don't even know if it's preaching, but I just know I was there. And he would get up and he would try to repeat what was preached the Sunday before. And I would sit there and think, man, he is butchering this thing. It was awful. But I didn't say nothing because I was like, well, this is what they got to eat. Until they get better, they just have to. But the thing is, if you're not called, or whatever you're called to do, do it. You might be an evangelist. Don't try to pastor. You might be a teacher. Don't try to pastor. Now, sometimes a pastor can be a teacher. But if you're not called to pastor church, don't do it. Don't do it because you think there's money in it. Let me tell you. Not around here anyway. Maybe I went to a big city and had a mega church. Maybe, yeah, then there's money in it. But not, you know, no. Stay in your calling. I want to read you this just because it was there. This is Brother Branham said this, and we always talking and mention it, but I want to read it. It has nothing to do with this message, but listen what he said. I was reading the history of Martin Luther. The history said it wasn't so much of the mystery that Martin Luther could protest the Catholic Church and get by with it, but to hold his head above all the fanaticism that followed his revival. That's right. That's a good quote. It's not so much of what even Brother Branham brought, but that he held his head up over all the fanaticism of this message. This message has an awful name. They follow a man. Some of them really do. Some of them baptized in William Branham's name. They listen to tapes instead of giving a five-fold ministry in a pulpit. They've got all kind of fanaticism in this message. And it's no wonder people run from us because they think we're like them. But I ain't like them. Matter of fact, I always say I'm not a good message person because I don't run my church like they do. I believe in a five-fold ministry, live five-fold ministry. I believe in getting in the pulpit and letting the preacher preach, and God's anointed word comes through him and comes out to the congregation, which blesses them. So we have to raise above the fanaticism even of this message, because you know what? Cell phones, great. Internet, great. But it's also the worst thing. Because the first thing people do is look up William Branham on the internet. Please don't. I tell you, don't do it. Because the first thing you're going to run into is a cult and all the fanaticisms of this thing. The people who baptize in his name, the people have all this other, people who have been rejected, and people who, like I said, when they leave, they leave a bad name for you. They don't walk out the door and say, oh, Fairborn Hallelujah is the greatest church. No, that Nate Moore is an awful pastor. So don't look for the truth of this message on the internet because you won't find it there. You got to come to the house of God and listen to what God says, and then you'll find out for yourself whether it's truth or not. Because it's not about William Branham. It's not about this message. It's about the Word of God being revealed to the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's about. But raising our head above all the fanaticism of this message, that's what we got to do. So I just wanted to read that because that just happened to be above what I wanted to read to you this morning. So I said, I got to read it. I actually put it in green because I said, I just want to talk to him about that. But I didn't want to forget it. But this is what I want to read. It's a little bit next paragraph down. Hold yourself clean and clear to your calling. Stay with God's word and don't move for nothing. And stay, abide in your calling. If he gives you a job out there as a farmer, farm good. God bless you at it. And pay your tithes. He never forgot that. Y'all didn't see that one coming. Pay your tithes. Okay. Where was I? I lost my place. Pay your tithes and whatever it is, your offerings, to help the ministry go on. If he's made a mechanic out of you and blessed you in that work, stay with it. And thank him for it. See, you just abide where God calls you.
We find here an influence. And then when he tried to be corrected, he's talking about the minister corrected him. Tried to be corrected, the minister ran after him and said, wait a minute, you wasn't called for that. Oh, did he get angry? Why, he was ready to have his head cut off. See, there is another thing that we must know. No matter how much God has blessed you, listen, church, you haven't got no right to rebuke the anointed of the Lord or to say anything against them. That's right. God is the one who takes care of that. They need any rebuking, that's his children. You leave them alone. You're supposed to do that, see? And here, I wanted to put this other piece in, because a lot of times people want to get you. Oh, I have people want to rebuke me. I always dread when somebody wants to take me out for lunch, you know. That's the dreaded Last Supper. They tell you, Pastor, we need to talk. Let's go to lunch. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. Because usually when that happens, it's not everybody, because I go to lunch with y'all all the time. But when it happens with somebody who's already got issues, and I've already seen them coming from a long, far off, I know what's coming here. So you go to that lunch, and then they rebuke you. Oh, y'all should be in my shoes. Yeah, see, some of the stuff I go through. I could write a book. I really could. Okay. But listen here. It says, but we find out that this guy had taken this attitude in doing the things he did. What happened to him? The Lord struck him with leprosy right there in the building. And what is leprosy? It's a type of sin. Unbelief. There is no other sin but unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. And sin is the only unbelief there is. I was preaching, and this is, we already know, we talk about this a lot. I was preaching one time in a Methodist church and said, smoking cigarettes is not a sin. The prophet said that. And why do we always harp on that? I ain't saying nothing. I'm just saying. All right, you thought that was bad. Okay. Committing adultery is not a sin. Just like smoking. Taking the Lord's name is not sin. Well, this is your prophet. He said it. I'm just reading what he said. I'm just reading what he said. It was too much for one sister. She raised up and said, pray tell me, Reverend Branham, what is sin? I said, unbelief. You do these things because you do not believe. You do them. That doesn't make you do it. You didn't believe anyway. So it could be anything. It could be smoking, drinking. It could just be, I don't believe what you preach. That's sin. It's not even bad, but it's sin. You do those things because you do not believe. That's exactly. The reason you refuse to walk in the light of the word is because you disbelieve the word. That makes you an unbeliever. When the word comes forth and you don't believe it, then you're an unbeliever. You say, well, how can I believe it if I can't prove it? You're not asked to prove it. You're asked to have faith in it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the very evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
You just believe. You're standing there, and you just stand.
That's it.
Don't move. Brother Brown said, drive your stake and stay right there. Don't let it move for nothing. I don't care what gossip you hear. I don't care what other people do. I don't care what other people say. As for me in my house, and I'm talking about this house. Amen. As for me in my house, I'm going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And I'll protect you as long as I can protect you. Just to skip down 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about God calls the foolish things to the confound the world. He does things foolishly. He'll make things in such a way that it'll make people want to go away.
He does it on purpose. When he was talking to those Sadducees and Pharisees, he would talk to them in such a way the disciples would listen to him. And they said, he didn't talk to us like that last night. What? And they called Jesus to the side. They did an intervention. They said, Jesus, we got a problem here. Why do you talk to those people like that? You don't talk to us that way. You talk to them in parables. Jesus says, because it's not for them. Seeing they can't see. Hear they can't hear. It's not given unto them to understand this, but it is given unto you. So when we come to the house of God, people sit at home and read their Bibles all day and get nothing out of it. But when you come to the house of God, God will break this thing down so easy. You know, it's pureed. You don't have to chew it. It's so, it just swallow the word. It's so easy to get a hold of. This is like your children can. This doesn't choke any of the bride. She loves it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise, sorry folks, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many mobile are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He did this on purpose. He could have made us get this any other way. He could have had us at home, and just all of a sudden we got a revelation. I'm a seed of God. He could have had the stars say it in a code and only the bride pick it up. But that would be something that the rich and the smart people would say, there's got to be something to that. But God says, I'm going to bring you into a building. I'm going to have all of you facing the same direction. I'm going to put some loud-mouthed man standing in front of you, facing you. He's going to read a book that's 2,000 years old. He's going to talk out of that, and he's going to tell you things that are to be, and he's going to say a lot of things that doesn't make sense to us. Candlesticks, horse riders, stars, messengers, prophets, bride, church ages. We can't understand this. It's not given unto them. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Amen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You ain't getting no glory. God ain't going to give you no glory. It's going to be him and him alone. You say, well, I've done a lot of things. I don't care. I'm a good person. Doesn't matter. Okay, let's just jump down. What time is it? It's 11:30. Now, to show you how far off the church got, we don't have to read it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just to summarize it, it talks about taking your brother to the law, to court. We don't need to do that. We bring them to the house of God. They hear the word of God. And you got three levels of protection. And if they listen to you, then they'll be fine. If they don't listen to you, they'll listen to somebody else, and maybe they'll be fine. But if they don't listen to all, we just let them go. Right. Well, I'll take them to court. So I'm going to sue you. Why? Why would you take us to the world? Why would you leave this church and get out on the internet to the world and try to destroy us? What kind of spirit? He said, I hate not reading it. He said, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man amongst you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? If you got a problem, we should be able to fix anything you got. Marriage problem solved. Job problems solved. I try to solve everybody's problem. I advise you. When Victor was thinking about bringing his wife to work, America, I said, come on, Victor, where are we going? He said, where are we going? I said, well, you want to bring your wife to America. first thing we got to do is get you a job. He said, well, okay. They said, well, how am I going to get to work? I said, well, you work a little bit, and after that, you'll get your bike. And then you keep working. Eventually, you'll get your car. And then you get your place to bring her to. I said, I'm not bringing your wife over here to starve, to live in poverty with you. No. And that's the same way with any brother or sister in here. I don't expect any of us to be living in poverty. Why would you? Brother Children said we ought to do a soup kitchen if we have to back there. We will share what we have. Do you know it's a benefit in being a part of a body? That you can actually benefit and receive benefits. If you get hungry, you won't have to be hungry because we'll feed you. If I have two hot dogs, you get one. Amen. Said, hot dogs, I want steak. You're not hungry enough. But we'll share whatever we have because it's a body. We take care of the body. I'm not obligated to take care of the world. Why would I take you out there? We'll solve any problem we have right here. That's why I put everything on the internet. I say, I've got a real church with real issues and real problems. They say, you shouldn't put that on the internet. I put everything out there. If I have to rebuke you, I'm going to rebuke you in front of the world. If you act stupid in front of a mic, I'll be stupid behind you. The thing is, we're real people with real issues and problems, and we're helpers of one another. Don't take me to court. And isn't there somebody in this place that has enough wisdom to can solve your problem? Do you have to sit and suffer alone? No. We have three levels of protection here. We'll protect you. We'll guard you. We'll hold you up. We'll keep God before you. We'll take care of you. But you got to be a part of this thing. You can't be on the outside talking about, I want the benefits. You're going to get no GM benefits if you don't work for them. Say, they got good benefits. I want some of those benefits. You get a job with them. Not just a job either. Got to go work for them. If you want the benefits of God's blessing on you, you have to be in the house. Don't say, well, I believe, and you're sitting at home. We don't take each other to court. We got wisdom. We've got wise men and sisters in amongst us. If you young sisters are having problems, you older sisters are responsible to help them. Said, when did we start that? It's always been that way. Sister come in here, we're split all the way up to here. And I'm not a clothesline preacher. But you know what? If I was an older sister, I would say, honey, I know you ran out of thread. I've got some, and I can fix you up. Because they don't know. Young people are looking at society, and society dressed like... I'm cleaning up the words. They dress like prostitutes. And that wasn't the word I was going to use. That's after two other words. They dress like prostitutes. The men dress like one. Do you know you need to dress up to come to the house of God? I'm saying you're coming to the meet the man of your dreams. The one you love. The one that gave his life for you. And if I want to give him anything, I want to give him my best. I had some painter jeans on yesterday where I painted all day. I could have wore those today. I could have. Y'all better not say nothing. But I want to give him my best. It's not about my expectation of you. If what you have is your best, then that's fine. I'm good with that. I'm good. I ain't trying to clothesline you. But I'm saying, think about where you're going. You think about it when you go to work. You think about, oh, I can't wear this. Oh, I got to put on that. Oh, I need to close. Oh, no, that ain't going to work. Oh, this is too tight. I can't fit. So think about it. I don't even know how I got there. But I'm there now. Just keep kicking and stroking. Keep. You know what? When you get out, what I found out about swimming, because I'm not the best swimmer in the world, but once I found out that I got out into water and it was deeper than I could reach with my feet, because I'm tall, when I'm in water that deep, I know what I kick and stroke, keep going till you get to where you can stand up. Don't stop. That's where I am right now. Keep it going. Give God your best. This is the best place you could, just the best place you could go. Don't worry about the rest of them. Now, here's an interesting thing, because I'm thinking about the people that are supposed to be serving God. I'm thinking they don't really love each other. We bite and fight and scrap and everything else with each other. Churches can't fellowship. People can't fellowship. Can't even talk to a Baptist. We fight about everything. But then I linked to Scripture over at Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. It says, "Ye have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." That's an odd way to put it, but that's what was said. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of the Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." We have gotten so far away from that scripture. Amen. We can't hardly love those that we love. Let alone loving somebody that hates you. Have you ever had somebody that talk about you and dog you and try to destroy you, and you still turn around and love them? I have. I have. I have. But that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. Love them that hate you. I run into people all the time that hate me. I'll shake their hand and give them a hug. Try to destroy you. Try to destroy your name. Try to take your church. Try to do all manner of evil to you. Those are people that hate you. And God's word says that we should love them.
Amen. Right.
Yeah. Amen. I read that and I thought, we forgot that's in there. We love them that love us. And we hate them that hate us. But that ain't the word of God. When they were battling over the church split and they were trying to throw stuff at me and talk about me on the internet and they were putting all this stuff out there, and I told the whole church, I said, don't even respond. Don't even respond. I had a brother who responded, and I rebuked him. Because I said, the day you see me respond is the day you respond. I want to do it the way the word says it. You know, the Bible said, love them that hate you. And it ain't easy. Oh, it's not easy. You want to row up. You want to take your own stuff. You want to take it. But remember, there's levels of protection. By you not speaking, it gives them an opportunity to turn around.
Amen.
I've had people, y'all seen it. People been gone 20 years. I've never talked about them one time. They come back and apologize. And they're my brother. And we can move together. We can move forward. What if I had dogged them like they dogged me? What if I talked about them like they talked to me? And I didn't put any protection around them. I protected them when they weren't protecting me. That ain't about me. It's about the word of God, what he says to do. Because I was as mad as a hornet. I could have jumped in the ring just like anybody and everybody else. It's easy to get on the internet and put your feelings out there. It's easy to get out there and say what you want. But it's not about that. What does the word tell us to do? See, that's where y'all need to understand We're about the Word of God. It's not about how we feel.
Amen.
It's not about what makes me happy or what makes me feel good or what makes me the big shot. I'm not the big shot. It's the Word of God that tells me I don't even want to do it. I want to hate those that hate me. I want to fight back. I want to spit in their face like they spit in mine.
But there's three levels of protection. And the Bible tells me to guard for them. When they're silly, when y'all act silly, I guard for you. When you think I don't understand you, I guard for you. When you walk away and think you got the last word in, and I didn't say nothing back at you. You think you got it. It had nothing to do with you. It's what the Word says to do. And while you're being silly and putting your opinion out there against me, I'll respond to you according to the Word of God. So that when you get your leprosy off of you and you wake up, you can come back to the house and I'll still love you like I did when you hated me. That's the Word of God. I'm telling you, this is what we should be doing. This is why we don't gossip. This is why we don't just tell each other's business out there. It's because you are obligated to help each other, guard for each other, give each other an opportunity to make things right. Some people don't even get an opportunity to make things right because we won't give an opportunity. They do us wrong and we tell everybody. I don't tell y'all when people do me. I don't even tell Clarice when people do me wrong. You know why I don't tell her? She's a weaker vessel. And she is a hothead. She is. I don't tell my wife. You can't tell your wife everything.
No.
You got to have wisdom to know what to tell her and what not to. Some of it's not her business.
Right.
Some of the things I go through, I don't tell Clarice because all I would do is make her mad.
Yeah.
Jay tripped me up Saturday. Put his foot out there and knocked me down. Clarice, you know what Jay did? And then Sunday morning come, Jay coming in thinking he's something else, and Clarice goes. Now she's got a spirit.
Right.
And I got to deal with that.
Right.
So it's better not even tell her. She don't know half the stuff that I go through. A quarter of it, maybe. And I share with her what she needs to have. And the stuff that won't help her, I don't tell her. Because it's also my job to protect her as her husband.
Amen.
And I don't want to put more on her than she can bear.
Amen.
Same with the church. There's things that happen. When we had a disagreement with Kentucky Church, I didn't even tell y'all. To this day, y'all don't even know why they separated and went their own way. I kept that. I hid that. I guarded for them. Y'all didn't even know where, they didn't even know they're going. I remember Brother Lockett asked me one time, he says, where's the Kentucky church? Where's Brother Spivey and I? I didn't tell nobody. But I was giving them a chance to turn around. And here Brother Spivey Jr. come back over here. And then the church can roll right along. Church didn't know there was an issue, so y'all didn't roll your eyes at Easter. Y'all didn't sit in a little bunch like, I ain't dealing with Kentucky. No. That's our brothers. Those are our sisters. That's what the Word says do. I'm trying to teach y'all how to do the three levels of protection to protect each other. I protect my home. I protect the church. I protect this message.
Amen.
That's what Brother Branham said. Because I want us to really hear what our prophet said here. He said, I wish I could take the Pentecostal world and back them up in a corner somewhere and let them think like that for a while. Just think these reasonable things. Where we are at now, that great big bulk of organization, everyone against one another, the oneness against the two-ness against the three-ness, and so forth, and all just way that is. It shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. We should come back and come together and settle it upon the basis of thus said the Lord. That's what we should be. That's what we should do, It should be us getting together with people, not separating. Amen. Denomination, only thing it's done was separate. And what we've done, we've separated and separated and separated. We act like cells more than a body. We separate from the Baptists. We separate from the Pentecostals. Then we get in a message and we separate from the message churches. And then we get our brothers together and then we separate from each other. Shouldn't be that way. It's all the same message. 1 Peter chapter 3, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil of it for evil. Or railing for railing. But contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain from his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and do and sue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God wants us to do the right thing. He wants us to look at each other right. He wants us to protect each other. He wants us to guard. Don't just say anything and just do anything and then claim God's behind it. Just because you claim God's behind it doesn't mean it's so. The very proof that God's behind it is the very manifestation. And if that manifestation ties into the Word of God, then it's God. If it ties into you and your wishes, then it's just you.
Amen.
Listen to what Brother Branham said here. And I know this is a lot of reading, but I want you to see what we are really supposed to believe in this message that I don't see a lot of. I really don't. Saying you find yourself in love with your enemies. Somebody said, well, he's nothing but a holy roller. And you start to get, be careful, be careful. But when you really find yourself that you love him, regardless of what they do, you still love them, see? That's not easy. That's not easy, but we're required to do that. Then you begin to find, and your patience get from about that long, till it just don't have no end. That's what people think. I'm just very patient. It's not. I'm very patient. I'm very long suffering. I mean, y'all do stuff that I don't like. Okay, I was like, y'all don't, did I lose y'all? Y'all do stuff I don't like. But I'm not all up in your face about it. I'm patiently waiting because I know God's got to get in the mix. And when God gets in the mix, you'll get up and testify. And you'll say what God's done. And you'll see what God's moving. But it doesn't mean that I got to get on you and I got to ride you till you get rid of that habit or get rid of that problem or change your way. I don't have to do that. That's the Holy Ghost's job. Don't get in fusses. Don't like to get in fusses. If you like to see somebody raise up in the church and say, you know what? I'll tell you so-and-so did so-and-so. You say, now, brother, shame on you. Now, here's how we should be responding to these things. Shame on you. If you say, oh, is that so? Listen to that scandal. Watch out now. Well, you know, we love a good scandal. Yeah. Don't we? Yeah. I love a good scandal. Let's just put it all on me. I'm a big boy. I can take it. I can take it. A good scandal goes a long way. Bad news travels much faster than good news. If you say, oh, no, listen to that scandal. Watch out. The Holy Spirit is not a cesspool. See, don't let those sisters get on the phone and talk to each other and talk about their husbands. You rebuke that. Don't let the brothers get on the phone and talk about their wives. You rebuke that. Don't let the body talk about the body. The Holy Spirit is not a cesspool, see? No, no, no. The heart is occupied by the Holy Spirit is so full of holiness, purity, think no evil, do no evil, believe all things, endure long-suffering. See, don't fuss. When the family gets in a fuss, don't fuss with them. Some of y'all might have had fusses before you got to church today. But at least you got here. But stop that fussing. Don't have to. When your family gets in a fuss, don't fuss with them. Your mother says, I ain't having you go up there, that old church anymore. Well, you, all you think about now is you're letting your hair grow out. You look like some old grandma. Don't fuss with her. Say, okay, mother, it's all right. I love you just the same. And I'll be praying for you as long as I live. See, now how many would answer like that? It'd take God to get those words out of us. And it should be God. Let him answer. Amen. Let him respond. Let him be the one who leads you, because you're doing the protecting. You're protecting your mother. You're protecting the church. You're protecting the word. You're doing that. That's your job. Amen. Now, don't fuss, see? Temper breeds temper. First thing you know, you grieve the Holy Spirit away from you. You'll be fussing back. Then the Holy Spirit takes his flight. Temper breeds temper, and love breeds love. Be full of love. Jesus said, this will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love. Now, we forget all about that. We got the message of the hour. We have the prophet. We know what we know. And we turn around and do the opposite of what the word says. What the word says should tie into what the prophet says. And it should tie into our very lives. Amen. Now listen to this. Now I'm going to have to close, but I've got to read you this, because this was an eye-opener. Clarissa and I read in the book of Matthew. And the other day I read this, and I said, oh my goodness. I've been talking about the three levels of protection for years. Forever. But you know, it wasn't until the other day that I saw the scripture that showed that. I told Clarice, I said, we read it, and I said, this is three levels of protection. And I didn't know it. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus, red letter, pay attention. Verse 15. Moreover, if a brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's that first level. That's how you should do this. This is giving you help here to how to do. Don't tell everybody else's business. They don't even have to know me and Jeremiah had a fight. Me and Jeremiah know, and we made it right, and it moved on. No problem. Between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, he hath gained thy brother. See, he's your brother. He is never not your brother. Even though we act like sometimes, we're like, I thought you had the Holy Ghost. I ain't no brother of yours. You know how we do when we fuss. But if he will not hear thee, here comes that second level, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Take somebody with you. Now, the whole time, he's still your brother. You're trying to fix the issue. You're trying to fix the problem. You ain't jumping right to tell the church. You tried to do it by yourself. It didn't work. Now you got your second level. You're taking another brother and say, hey, you know, we got to protect him. So you and I are going to go over there and we're going to fix this issue. Right. Don't go spread it through the church. It ain't time for that. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, here goes that third level, tell it to the church. Let the whole church know, hey, he's acting like an unbeliever. But if he neglects to hear the church at that third level, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. He's got to go. If you can't do what the church is asking you to do, then it's time for you to go. I've told people before, I ask them, they come marching in here, they ignored the church, they ignored the people, they ignored their family, then they ignored me, and they come marching back in here wanting to sit down and hear the word of God. And I ask them, why are you here? You ain't listening to me. You're not following my instruction, so why don't you go find you a church that can help you, because I can't help you. When you get to that third level of protection, it's time for you to go. And no hard feelings. I just can't help you. We tried to deal with your problem one-on-one, and I dealt with you and another person on your problem, and that didn't help. Then you come back and start spreading it through the church. And then when you start talking to the church, it's my job to correct things so that the church will understand the truth, whether you believe it or not. And so when I have to address it before the whole body, you're done. You can repent right then, or you got to go. Those are three levels. When you start affecting the message, I got to let you go. Amen. When you got a little, oh, I got a revelation from God, Pastor. What's your revelation? Well, God told me that I am the new messenger. Brother Branham was good, but it's just I'm the next step. Really? That's false. So then what do? You go and start, Brother Don, I'm the new eighth messenger. And you can tell Jay, y'all need to start listening to me. And then Don and Jay going to come to me and say, hey, this brother, you know, he's... And then it's going through the body. It's my job as a pastor to rebuke that spirit and send it on its way. Now, at that point, you can either repent and sit down and say, you know, you're right. I'm not the eighth messenger. I'm okay. Or you say, I'm the eighth messenger. And I say, take it to the world. Three levels of protection. I did not know Jesus had that in there till just the other day. And I thought, wow, the whole time I believed that and practiced that for years. But when I saw that in Matthew 18 the other day, I thought, there it is right there in front of my eyes. Well, I wasn't so far off after all. First is person to person. Second is two or three witnesses. Third is tell it to the church. And by the time it gets to that point, it's time for you to either repent or go. That's the only option. Turn or burn, Brother Childress says. Either one or the other. You got to do one or the other. Now, listen to what Brother Branham said here, and I got to close. It's after 12. We try to do it ourselves. Oh, you ought to kick so-and-so out of church. I had people want to do that. I had a preacher who had an issue, and I had people come to me saying, set him down. They don't need to be preaching because they got a problem. I'm like, I ain't setting him down. Let him preach. He'll preach himself out, and he'll preach himself back in. They want to set him down, kick him out of church. People want to kick people out of church. Where's the love of God? I mean, I'm telling you, church people are the worst. They want to kick people out of church. The only place you're going to get help is in the church. Kick them out of church. You ought to do this, that, or the other. Have you done your part as a church towards it? There you are. That's the way to make them crawl back. Turn them over to the devil one time. Well, what Paul said about a man there was living with his stepmother. They couldn't get him reconciled, see? Turn him over to the devil. Watch what happens. And the next letter Paul wrote, the man had gotten straightened out. Sure, God had a way of doing these things. If we just follow his rules, his three levels of protection, let him do that. If someone's going wrong in the church, if it's amongst the congregation, each one of you brothers, if one of the deacon board, if one of the deacon board, just one of you deacons, don't behave, the other deacons come and have a meeting. Try to reconcile that brother. Tell him what he's doing. One of you members or whatever you are, that'll be brought before him. See, that's one-on-one. That's the way it starts. That's the way any problem starts. When you and your spouse are having marital problems, I don't start by getting up here saying, hey, Jay and Courtney are fighting. No, I go talk to Jay and Courtney. And y'all will never know it. Never know we even met. Never know we even had a discussion. Never know there was a problem. It protects you, and it protects them. Okay. So if something's going to run in the church amongst the congregation, each one of you brothers, if it's a deacon board or a deacon don't behave, the other deacons have a meeting, then it's brought before him. If he won't do it, then come tell the pastor. Come see me. Because the whole time, Brother Brown says, we're protecting them. It's your brother. It's your sister. We're protecting. Come see the pastor. Then he'll loose. Then he's loosed from the church. After the pastor gets through, he loosened from the church, let him out there. He's loosed from the church, and then let him be a heathen and a publican. Then watch the Lord go to work on him, see? That's when he comes back to himself. That's when he goes to crawling in. But we try to do it ourselves. You know, try to everything the way that we should do it. Now, we never make a success. When we try to do it ourselves, it's never successful. We make a mess out of it. But if we do it according to God's word, we do it according to the levels of protection, and we do it according to what's right, then we'll be right. We'll be okay. Amen. He said here, Brother Brown said, now remember, if you have an error or fault against a brother, but if a brother or something against you, see, go to him and be reconciled. Tell him that you've had a strange feeling about him and you want to make friends. And pray and go down to the altar and get that thing out of the midst of you. That's why you do it. Now, Satan will constantly punch at you until you finish here on earth. Just remember that. You'll never have a time but when there's a punching going on all the time because you're in a battle. Did you ask to come to Christ to go to a picnic? Well, you're sure going to be surprised because it's a constant battle. I've been on the field for 41 years, and I fought every inch of the way. That's right. Israel had to fight every inch of the way. Palestine's was given to them. Palestine was given to them, but they had to fight every inch of the way to get it. Now, remember this now. If there's something come up in the church, then let the pastor, and if you come here, and if you come to the pastor and take them to the person, then if they won't hear it, then come up before the church and tell it before the church. Give them so much time to be reconciled, maybe from one Sunday to the next. And if they will not hear the church, then the Bible says, let the heathen be a publican. That see, as long as they are protected by the church, Satan cannot get to them. As long as you're in here, you're protected. But when you get to that third level of protection, God backs off. And you're out there in the world with Satan. No match for Satan. As long as you're protected by the church, Satan cannot get them. But when the church looses them from under the protection of the church and the blood of Christ, then Satan will go to work on them. They'll bring them right into reconciliation again. You'll understand that, don't you, Pastor? And I say, yes, sir, I do. You know, you take your hands off. I don't chase y'all down when y'all leave. I figure if you go out the door, God's going to have to rebuke you and get you back in the door. And if you don't come in and back in the door, you weren't supposed to be here. Right. And if you come back in the door, you'll be a better Christian than you were before you left. But it's my job to protect you, to keep you, to guard and help you stay where you need to be until you get your focus, till you get rid of your leprosy. When you can see a man that's wrong and proven wrong, then that shows he wants to be a Christian. He walks up and says, I'm wrong. Brother Branham says, that's the zeal of the hour. I'm wrong. That's all I need. I don't need no explanation. Oh, you know, I was sitting there and the Spirit got on me and it made me do. No, I don't need all that. I'm wrong. Those brothers who had been away for 20 years come back and said, I was wrong. Don't have to put any explanation. Don't need any definitions. Just, I'm wrong. That's a true Christian. Amen. That's a true Christian. But that guy that's all blowed up and runs around one side and says, ah, there wasn't nothing to it. And like this, watch out, brother. You can see right then that he went out under the condemnation. He went out under condemnation because he wasn't of us. But always, Pastor, come to that word, and it'll do it right. It'll do it every time. But you've got to stay with the word. The word's here. What people get away from here is when they get away from the word. As long as you're here, you're under that protection. We're protecting you. We're holding you up. We're keeping God in front of you. You are right where you need to be. And I'm coming right down to the bottom. I'm doing this because I'm just skipping a bunch of things. Okay. Brother Brum said, and this is my last quote. But have you ever noticed how sweet and relaxing the sound of water can be? I like to fish. And I like to find a spot where the water is whispering in ripples. I can just lie back and hear it speaking peace and joy and contentment to my heart. How glad I am to be anchored in the haven of rest, where the voice of the Lord speaks peace and the word of the water of separations had declared. How thankful we should be to hear his voice of love and care and guidance and protection. We should love this. And someday we will hear that same sweet voice speak, not in judgment, but in welcome to us, whose sins have been remitted by the blood, whose lives has been spirit-filled, and whose walk was in the Word. What could be more precious than to hear the multitudes of welcoming voices and be surrounded by those multitudes who have believed unto eternal life? Oh, there is nothing like it. To be under his protection, to have those three levels of protection guarding us. Y'all don't realize this happening in here all the time. Those levels are going at different levels in different places. But see, you got your part too. Don't gossip. Don't go to your brother. If you got a problem, get it straight. Don't bring that spirit in here. Keep it, kill it, get rid of it. Love one another. Let those three levels of protection protect you. And it is protecting you. And it's taking care of every problem that you've had. And as long as we do that, we'll have that sweet peace and patience and protection of our Lord that keeps us in the midst of all this wicked and perverse generation. God, help us. Help us to just learn to use this word like it's been meant to do it. It can take care of everything. And you'll find yourself in a life that's full of peace and joy and love in the midst of the storm. Nothing will move you. Like Romans says, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. And that's what we have. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his protection. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning to be gathered today and to have your love and protection in our lives. Lord, you showed us how to protect because you protected us. When we didn't treat you right, Lord, you treated us right. You came to us when we couldn't come to you. And when we're down and having issues and problems, Lord, you still protect us. That blood was put there to take care of all those problems. And Lord, we have a job to do amongst ourselves to protect each other, to hold each other up, to be brothers and sisters with love. Let the love of Christ dwell in our hearts, not hold things against each other, but Lord, let us just love one another, as your word says. For then this, they'll know that we are your disciples, that we have love one to another. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this opportunity to share with each other and to walk this walk together. Keep your hand on us, Lord, and let us press like never before. Move all the leprosy, all the sin, everything that tries to affect us, Lord. Move it aside and let us receive your word with gladness. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, musicians. I love him. We got a baptism too. Thank you, Jeremiah. Don't let me forget, because you know I'd close. I love him because he first loved me and perfect.
just my salvation on Calvary's tree. Yes, I love him. I love him because he first loved me, and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word and what it means to us. Brother Warren has asked for this prayer cloth, and we send it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that by your stripes we are healed. Let the healing power of the Holy Ghost move in this behalf. And Father, we're so grateful for our brother here. I ask you to touch his home. Strengthen him, Father. For Satan battles him with sickness, and we ask you to just move in their behalf. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Warren. Amen. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. Oh, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, for Jesus is the sweetest. Amen. Jeremiah, you ready?
I'm ready. Come on, Brother Levi. Hold on to Daddy here. Take care of you. Bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for your many blessings for this service today, Lord. Thank you for your watchful hands over us and your protection. Thank you for little Levi here, Lord, that you've dealt with his heart. Thank you for watching over him and his life. Thank you for giving him the desire, Lord, to come here to be baptized today. We ask that you watch over him, continue to grow him, let him grow stronger in your word. Let him be a light to this world. Thank you for his desire and bless his desire. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask, amen. Brother Levi, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, thank you for another young brother here, Brother Lucas. Thank you for his desire, Lord. Thank you for your watchful hand over his life. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless him. Let him grow stronger in your word. Let him be a light to this world, Lord. Continue to strengthen his desire. Thank you for bringing him here, Lord, today and for the work you're doing in his life. Bless him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Brother Luke, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Anybody else? Still water.
Now, I was told that Levi wanted to be baptized, and I didn't say who was going to be baptized. And somewhere along the line, Luke wanted to be baptized as well. But they didn't know who the other person was. But I think it's only fitting. They're good friends, they're relatives, cousins, and they're good buddies. They hang, you see one, you see the other. So it's almost amazing that happened that way. But, you know, God knows what he's doing. They've been walking with each other all their lives, and now they can walk in Christ together. And I think it's a great thing. Amen. Find yourself a friend and walk together with God. I've been friends with John. I've been friends with a lot of you brothers, but John, I've been close for 44 years now, and he's helped me walk with Christ, and I've helped him, and we've helped each other. All of these, what I call old heads now, Don, Ted, Brother Lockett, it's the ones we've been around here, but you know, we've helped each other along the way. Amen. So God bless you. Come back tonight at 7 for services. And we'll see what God has in store for this evening. God has smiled on me. Key of G. Amen. God has smiled on me, and he has set me free. Oh, yes, God.
From above, yes, God, oh, he smiled on me, he has set me free. Dismissed.